three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Time now for headlines as we predict what will happen on Sunday as the Packers take on the Vikings at Lambeau Field.
Packers Hall of Famer Mark Tauscher.
I'm going to do something crazy.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio at ESPN Madison.
I'm going to say kissing cousins. Pack bikes tied.
And celebrating 10 great years on ESPN Wisconsin.
He missed it again! And we'll end this crazy game in a tie. Oh my goodness.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Hour, Wilde and Tausch, Jesse and Tausch. Jason's summer sabbatical continues. Recapping what we just heard from Brian Bulaga during the tackle talk portion of the program. Extensive diving into the offensive line. 1 week out from training camp and reviewing Rob Domofsky's better, worse, or the same projections over at ESPN.com. It's pretty bold to say that you think that the offensive line is going to be better this year than it was last year. If
it's hopeful.
What you guys are saying is that pretty much every player, no matter which five are going to be starting, need to play better than they individually did last year.
Yeah, it wasn't a good year for them. We've been crystal clear about that. And even, you know, going through the season, the way, you know, 2 years ago, Josh Jacobs did a lot of things after contact. The run game has not been good enough. And I think that's why they're ripping it down to the studs. And, you know, whether or not they're going to make it easier or however they're going to get more efficient running the football, that needs to happen. And then that will help them with all the other things. But, yeah, last year just wasn't good enough. And it needs to be a lot better this year. It can't just be, like, a little marginally better. That's why they went with, you know, move Jordan Morgan out there. They're going to let him sink or swim for a while. And I think he's going to be okay. I think it's going to take a little time. He's going to have to learn. But to me, you know, the Aaron Banks signing and how that has played out with, you know, Elgton Jenkins at center last year and – it just didn't work. Now, Aaron Banks gave him a lot more money. He is going to be here. He is going to have to stay healthy and be one of the guys. And if he's not, you're going to be asking a lot for a young player. And I do think that – I think old Jaeger Burton, they like him. I think he is going to find a spot. I think they're going to – I don't know when. I don't know if it'll be immediate. But him and what they've said about him and the opportunities he's going to be given throughout training camp – if he can kind of grab hold of one of those, you know, get the coaches to trust and believe in a rookie, we've seen it with a lot of other rookies. He's a little later pick. I think they are really high on his attributes and what he can do, and then that could add another layer because the last thing, you know, and what I was frustrated about was after the season when they end up signing Sean Ryan, it was they're going to just kind of run this thing back, and then obviously Shido they didn't bring back. We all knew Jordan Morgan was going to be left tackle regardless, and he never beat out Shido. And Shido didn't play very good. That's what I think Packer fans, when you want to be skeptical and have concerns, you can lean on those things and say, how are we going to get better? And it's going to come from those guys just playing better. Belton, I think, is going to be better. Sean Ryan, I think, is going to be better. Zach Tom's going to be healthy. That left side of the offensive line, that's going to be the spot that I think a lot of people are going to be watching very closely throughout training camp.
Shout out to our guy, Steve-O in SoCal. He's been one of the loudest naysayers on the Packers as we've had different conversations throughout this offseason. It's led to some good conversation on this show. He has texted us about 38 times this morning in different capacities. I'm going to pick one that he said, but he's been very pessimistic about Rob's article saying that he thinks a lot of different positions will be better this year. The offensive line conversation, he's been interested in the conversation, but disagreeing or maybe actually agreeing with you guys, disagreeing with Rob saying that he thinks the unit will be better. Steve-O says, and this is the best way to summarize everything he said, name a worse Packers O-line. I can't.
Well, they haven't played yet. Last year's O-line
was... Well, you can't do that. You can say projected going into this thing.
Our O-5 offensive line was not very good.
And the team wasn't very good that year.
We struggled.
It was the best 4-12 team of all time, but it was
a great 4-12 team. There's a lot of question marks. And as I was talking with Blue, it really is tough when you have question marks throughout, because you can find ways and figure out different ways what teams are going to be good at, what they're not. When you have two or three guys that you know this is what we're going to get and it's good enough to win, you're not going to have five all pros. I'm not asking everybody to be Jonathan Ogden or Walter Jones. That's not what we're asking you to be. We're asking you just to be exactly what the coaches and the personnel folks have looked at and said, this is what our expectations are, and they weren't met last year. Will they be met this year? They're going to need to be, or the Packers are going to end up in the same boat, battling for a seventh seed and getting knocked out. Because I think if you look at this thing holistically, what was the biggest problem area last year? It was the guys up front.
Still more to dive into from Rob Domofsky's Better, Worse, or the Same article reviewing the Packers' offense heading into 2026 over at ESPN.com. We've done the quarterbacks, the receivers, the offensive line. Still a couple of position groups to go. Running back seems to be one that everyone's interested in what Rob has to say. We'll dive into that coming up next. But first, Tausch, you want to tell us it's Wednesday. That's always a good day at Hard Rock Casino Rockford.
A little quick 60-minute drive. You get 50% off your meal of $40 or less if you're 55 or older, which I know Homer is. That's probably where he's at, why he's not going to join us today. But the Hard Rock Casino Rockford, a premier entertainment destination just off of I-90. In Rockford, Illinois, it offers the most generous and frequent promotions of any casino in the Midwest. Play, dine, and shop. They got the great sports book. Got live shows. They got slots, table games. Everything you're looking for, Hard Rock Casino Rockford has. A premier entertainment destination just off of I-90 in Rockford, Illinois.
Running back room, better, worse, or the same? And how many question marks are there? They're still 1 week out from training camp. We'll talk about it coming up next. It's Jesse and Tausch on Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
1 week from pretty much right now, 10:30 next Wednesday, the Green Bay Packers will be out on the practice field, training camp practice number one up in Green Bay.
Going to be open to the public or not?
That one's open to the public.
So non-padded. So this is the thing I still, and I know Popke listens to the show, I don't get. I don't understand why every training camp practice isn't open. I'd love for someone to explain that.
Because they're implementing offensive strategy.
No, they're not.
They got plays they're working
they're
on.
They're not.
You don't think there's...
If they want to implement strategy for the Vikings game or the Bears games, they go into Hudson Center. And that's fine. We did that. Training camp practices should be open. I don't understand. You build Titletown. You want people coming up, filling your hotels and getting your food. Open training camp practice. You're not giving away trade secrets. It's not the Strait of Hormuz and all the other stuff. It's practice. Like, when they have a padded practice, it should be open to the public. Period. Thin. Help me understand why it's not.
What did the Strait of Hormuz have to do with any of that? Never mind. I don't want to know the answer to that. All right. Never mind. I agree with you. I think the more, especially Green Bay is such a destination for fans, and so many
fans
want to
come up. You have Dream Drive, which is a great partner. You guys will be up there cutting ribbons, and it's always great. Bikers and families come up. It's awesome. It's what it's all about.
Signing autographs, interacting with everybody.
I can't comprehend why, and is it a huge deal? It is to the fans. Railbirds. I mean, people want to come and just, this is their only real look at it. And we're not giving away anything. Like, I understand they don't want people videoing things. I get all of that. This is all basic install, that everything is on film. You're not going to put in new plays and all this, like, things that you're going to beat the Vikings with on July 28th. That's just not going to happen. So you want to see all these young players. You want to sell jerseys. You want people coming up and eating and all this stuff. That's great. I love it. You built this beautiful deal. Fans are everywhere. And I have a hard time getting my head wrapped around why there's so few open practices. I am open to hearing why. I want to know. I'd love for someone to give me a good explanation. I am not going to sit here and say that's it makes no sense to me. And I feel like I'm a sensible guy. I can be swayed. I don't need, I just want to get a better understanding of it.
844-770-3776. That's the Carbless ESPN Wisconsin Talk and Text Line. List is more.
People are coming. I mean, people, I know this. There are people come from La Crosse, and they want to get down, and they want to go, and they're wanting to spend their hard money on jerseys and training camp hats and T-shirts, and they want to watch a practice. They want to get autographs on guys biking down. It's all fun, and I love it. I don't understand it, and I want to understand. This isn't me on a soapbox saying, I want to understand. I've asked this question for 3 years. I've not gotten a good answer.
I mean, I can say this. When I was a kid, I went to 2 or 3 training camp practices with my mom and dad, and one of them I got to get Brett Favre's autograph, who was really cool. He was like the one time at practice he was signing autographs at the table afterward. But you get to go up. It was before they had the bleachers and everything set up, but he would stand along the rail and look in and see what was going on. And then you'd go over to the team store, you walk around Lambeau, maybe do a stadium tour, make like a whole experience out of it. And I think there's a lot of families, a lot of fans that do that. I didn't go to a game until I was 24.
So you needed a nap.
Until I was 24, 25. That was my first game I ever went
to. Now you go
to
games to take naps.
Yeah. I know. It's, you know, been there, done that. But I think you're right. Like, there's so many Packers fans, diehard Packers fans, that love the team that don't get to go to games and they want to go up and
I just want to understand.
It.
Like, you have a month window here, and you have practices. They're already limited practices a ton, which, great. Player safety, I'm on board. I'm fine with that. That is what it is. But when they are doing padded practices, I think fans clamor to get out there. They just want a little something, and I don't understand why the Packers are not just opening it up. Like, the bleachers are all set up, and if you need to go inside, if you're gonna have to do 3 periods inside, go for it. I don't get it.
We'll see if we can get some answers for you on that by the time you return from your summer sabbatical. It is the start of training camp next week. We'll delay our running back conversation. We'll do that coming up next. But you're talking about training camp. And, of course, when you're talking training camp, you're talking Dream Drive. And we're talking Dream Drive. We're talking American Family Insurance.
We are. That's what American Family Insurance does. And Brewers game day, you want to make it a dream for the whole family at the parking lot patio during Kids Day before you head inside American Family Field on July 19th. That's coming up. No, that's already happened.
You got to go to the next one there,
and
old T.
August 9th, stop by the parking lot patio next to the third base gate entrance. Let the fun begin. You got free face painting, temporary tattoos, photo ops, yard games, free giveaways, live music from local DJs. It's the perfect pregame stop for families. Come early, have fun, and make it a day to remember, all thanks to American Family Insurance.
All right, for real this time, running backs, better, worse, or the same as last year? Interesting conversation. We'll have it next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Wilde and Tausch, Jesse and Tausch, Ryan Wollersheim, our producer behind the glass. This is another one of those days where the producer hasn't chimed in very much, which for everyone else is like,
yeah,
oh,
well, everybody's pretty excited about
that. Why isn't
this
the case more often on this show?
It's my bad.
And I also love, I ask Wooly a question, a request, and he gets it back to me like pretty much immediately.
That's nice of him.
Yeah, you see how fast those stats came?
That's
yeah,
very
that
good.
Was really nice.
He's just taking two business
and
days
didn't
for Jesse.
And complain and like cry about it. That's a nice change of pace.
Wilde and Tausch 10th anniversary presented by Steinhoffels. When you've been doing this for 8 years with these guys, you get a little grumpy every
now
and then.
Yeah, I can understand that. I actually can totally understand.
See how
that.
Wooly does 8 years from now if he's getting those requests coming his way still, huh?
Sure.
Let's talk about the running backs. For those of you just joining us, we have been reviewing throughout today's show, including with Brian Bulaga. Rob Domofsky at ESPN.com has reviewed by position on the Packers offense. Better, worse, or the same from 2025 to 2026, with us being 1 week out from the kickoff of training camp in Green Bay next Wednesday. So if you're just joining us, the quarterback, Rob says worse because of the loss of Malik Willis and the addition of Tyrod Taylor. Nothing to do with Jordan Love.
I can't fight Rob on that as much, but I think that the Tyrod Taylor is going to be a very good addition to that room. And it's not just going to be if he has to play. I think there's more of an impact in the backup quarterback usually when you don't play. What are you doing? And I think Tyrod's going to be able to give something that Malik couldn't to Jordan, which is some veteran perspective and maybe some different approaches that he's had that has allowed him to last in this league 17 years.
The wide receiver room, Rob says, better. Had a lengthy conversation about roles.
I can understand Rob's point on that, too, and I mean, I hope that that's the case.
Offensive line, he says, better. We talked about that very extensively
with Brian
Bulaga.
Starting to wonder if Rob just doesn't want the smoke.
Well, he might, but you can check out the conversation with Bulaga on the ESPN Wisconsin app or on the ESPN Madison, ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channels. Subscribe so you get notified every time we go live. Running back, let's talk about this one, because when we first brought this conversation up at the start of the show, I saw a text come in almost immediately. It said, I'm really curious what running back is going to look like in this conversation. Rob Domofsky asserts better, worse, or the same? The same for the running back room heading into 2026. The loss of Emmanuel Wilson, he's in Seattle now, right, with the defending champs?
I do believe so, yes.
The additions, Damian Martinez, Jaden Nixon, but really the addition is Marshawn Lloyd, because he, with Emmanuel Wilson gone and not being healthy for each of really the first several years of his career, Marshawn Lloyd and Chris Brooks are going to be sharing the role as RB2.
Are you buying what Rob's selling?
I'm buying the same for right now. I think there's a lot of question marks on a lot of stuff. Like, we have not heard anything on this Josh Jacobs situation that came up in late May.
And I think that's probably good for Josh.
That's good for Josh, and it's good if you want to see him on the field for the Packers this year. Obviously, the legal ramifications, we won't dive into all that because we don't know what's all going on with it. Josh Jacobs is one of the best running backs in the league if he's healthy and available, and we've seen how he has been in addition and a strength of the Packers offense when it's all working. It has altered how they run their offense. We heard a couple of different analysts join us and say that over the last several months. With no Emmanuel Wilson, who was a very serviceable backup when Josh Jacobs couldn't go, Chris Brooks, Marshawn Lloyd, and of course the big question mark you'd have to circle is Lloyd, because he hasn't been able to stay healthy so far in his career. A lot of bad luck for him. We've had some shows where we've talked extensively about him. If he could stay healthy, he could become a little bit of a weapon here for the Packers in 2026. But, of course, that comes with a big caveat of if. So is this really all just Josh Jacobs? Does it matter who the backup running backs are?
It does matter.
So what do you assert here? Do you agree with Rob saying the same as last year?
My old buddy, T. Stro, RIP, he always used to tell me, if is a pretty big word. And I said, well, if's only two letters. If's a pretty big word. And you just said 32 ifs. If this and if that and if the legal, all the if. Nobody is going to sit here and say on July 22nd that the running back room is in a better spot than it was. Emmanuel Wilson's gone. Emmanuel Wilson had a 27 carry game against the Vikings last year. He was a very nice, serviceable second back. Marshawn Lloyd, we've seen one play. We're going to bank on him being like this home run threat for us. I hope it works. But that running back room is not in a better spot today than it was last year. Same? You don't get... There is no same. You either get better or you get worse. There isn't. It's not the world that we live in. No, I'll probably say same for linebackers.
I was going to say, wait a minute.
I'm going to probably say same later. But
the entire premise of the article is better, worse,
no,
or the same.
And I get it's different than, obviously, analyzing things and playing are two different worlds. But I don't know how anyone, all of the numbers for Josh, and again, I've been very clear about the O-line. It was not good enough last year. Everything showed you decline last year. Why is it going to get better? Why is the running back room going to be better? Are you banking that Marshawn Lloyd's going to stay healthy for 10 games and he's going to have two or three huge plays a game? Maybe. If that happens, then I'll say better. And if Josh Jacobs is cleared and he is fresh and healthy and can stay healthy and his O-line is blocking better, then I'll say, okay. Who else on that list? Brooks is on that list, right?
For Chris Brooks, yeah.
Well, if he elevates and does all this stuff, so... No, the room is not better as we sit here today. I don't know how you can make an argument that it is.
Josh Jacobs unveiled today at channel3000.com by Jason Wilde, number 7 on his list of most important Packers of 2026. Let me ask you this relative to the running back room and Josh Jacobs.
I think there's going to be a player that emerges that we don't know about.
What do you mean by that?
I think there's going to be an undrafted. You just mentioned a couple other guys. There's going to be waiver wires. I think there's somebody that's out there. Josh is going to be the number one as long as he's healthy and he's free and ready to go. But I just feel like this year is tailor-made for an unknown to elevate and position themselves to be the next back for the Green Bay Packers. I don't know who that is yet. I don't know if he's on the roster, if he's not. If I'm an undrafted free agent or if I'm a guy that gets cut, Green Bay is a spot I'd love to come because I think there is opportunity for someone to snatch a position and run with something. A Ryan Grant-type situation is available, I believe, this year.
Let me ask you this about Josh Jacobs. So if all goes well, hear me out on this. If all goes well for the Packers this year, in reality, to me, I don't think Josh Jacobs would be in the top 10 of most important Packers in 2026. And that would be a good thing because it means that they're not depending on him the way that they might need to if other players don't emerge as well on the offensive line or in the receiving core, all the conversations we've had so far, especially on offense today. I think it would actually be a good thing if Josh Jacobs becomes less of a focal point of what we talk about on this show and when reviewing the Packers.
Yeah, no, I think that's foolish.
Of course you do. Why?
You need to have a running game. He is the player you've invested in and you are counting on to be your bell cow. So does he need to be? He's not a home run hitter. That's not what he does. He is a physical pounding runner. And I want to see more under center outside zone. I don't want to take away what he does best, but I want him to inflict his physicality on opposing teams. A lot of that starts up front. So it's one thing if Josh Jacobs is, you know, they ask him to take a pay cut and there's somebody else there. He is that they've put their eggs in that basket. When you let Emmanuel Wilson go, and they didn't have to let Emmanuel Wilson go. It wasn't like it was some – they like Brooks. They're, I think, also trying to give Marshawn Lloyd an opportunity. But Josh Jacobs, for this offense to go, yes, your receivers and Tucker and Jordan, those things are all – it's O-line and Josh Jacobs in unison finding a way to make that running game because I'm going to tell you, Carolina showed the blueprint last year. Play two safeties deep. Do you have the patience and the physicality to run the football consistently? They didn't. The running game was not good. Teams copied that. And when you do that, that will also come into this year. Even though it's a new group, they're going to say, I don't know if you have the patience, Matt LaFleur, to take 4 and 5 yards a carry and just keep pounding people into submission. I don't know. They did it against the Vikings. Not many other games you saw that. And we'll see if they can implement that. And Josh Jacobs would be a huge piece to that if that is indeed the way they got to do it.
One last note here. It comes from a text. Bill in Delavan. Thanks for the text here on the Carbless ESPN Wisconsin Talking Text line, 844-770-3776. If the offensive line is indeed better, the running backs are automatically better.
Definitely going to help.
Agree?
I would agree. Yeah, running backs make offensive linemen a lot better, but linemen have to give – our job as offensive linemen were give your guys a chance. You don't need to be road-grading people into submission. You just give Favre, Rodgers, give him some time to make a play. Give Amon Green room to run. Give Josh Jacobs room to run. Don't let him get – let him get started. Way too many times last year he'd have to jump cut 3 yards deep in the backfield. Too much penetration, too much stuff that just wasn't conducive to good running the football. It's not the sexiest thing, even though on our show we make it, because it matters. You're not good up front, you don't win. Don't matter what level you play, it's high school, it's college, it's pros. If you're not good up front, you're not going to beat anybody because other teams' defenses are good and they will abuse you if you can't do even the most basic things. And last year, we got away from that, and that is why things played out the way that they did.
Again, you can check out Jason Wilde's countdown of the most important Packers of 2026. Josh Jacobs checking in at number 7 over at channel3000.com. We're going to dive more into his countdown of the players that we haven't gotten to this week. We'll do that tomorrow on our program here on Wilde and Tausch. We're going to have one of our Gruber Law Office's celebratory One Call That's All messages coming up next as we celebrate the 10th anniversary all summer long, presented by Steinhoffels. Before we get to that, though, got any bacon laying around here, Tausch?
Yeah,
you got from Jones Dairy?
Slap you with a little bit of bacon. It's not all that Jones does, but they do it well. Their bacon is life-changing. Why is it so special? Well, it's dry-aged for up to 3 weeks, intense flavor. It's all worth the wait. Cherry wood, hickory hardwood, all of it. They also have great sausage, and everybody's wanting to eat cleaner. Get rid of those nitrates and the fillers and all that other stuff. Well, Jones Dairy, their recipe is simple, and it's as old as Jones Dairy is, all the way back to 1889 for 7 generations. Visit the Jones Market in Fort Atkinson or find Jones products in grocery stores across Wisconsin at the website finder jonesdairyfarm.com.
Wilding Tausch 10th anniversary celebration continues with one of our celebratory messages from Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All. That's coming up next. It's Wilding and Tausch.
The Miz is bringing the heat.
Struck him out swinging. 104 on that fastball from Miz. Back-to-back K's opens up his outing.
You're listening to 100.5 ESPN, Madison's home of the Brewers.
Wilde and Tausch, Jesse and Tausch today. Jason's summer sabbatical continues. He'll return next week. Training camp next week up in Green Bay. Wednesday, practice number 1 in Titletown. It is the summer celebration of Wilde and Tausch's 10th anniversary presented by Steinhoffels. I didn't exactly say that the way. I see you looking at me like that was a weird way to set that up.
Don't be so insecure. I wasn't staring at you in any way, shape, or form. That's on me, if you feel
that. I thought you gave me.
Jesse's such a self-conscious host.
He's super, yeah, it's like, oh, is that good? Was that good?
What do you think of my shirt?
Yeah. Jesse, you're doing a really good job.
Everyone had something to say about my shirt when I walked in here today. I figured that was it. All right. Wilde and Tausch's 10th anniversary presented
844-770-3776.
We need to change.
Well, you notice when Jesse is like running out, he'll just like, and then he'll like kind of stammer to let you know that he doesn't have anything else to add.
Yeah, there was a couple times in the blog interview. I could tell. He was very insecure about the shirt, and I feel like he was like,
he should be, though. What? You think Becca gets you that so that you feel insecure?
Sometimes.
You do?
I don't think it's not on the table. But I guess that would then add to my level of insecurity.
You really wanted to give Karmazin some relationship advice yesterday, didn't you?
I did not.
You did.
I would not like to give any relationship advice, and I would not like
Why
to
did
return
you volunteer
a set from a volleyball player.
Why did you volunteer?
Because you signed me up for it.
I didn't sign you. I signed you up for the love volleyball. I didn't sign you up for.
You did volunteer the fact that you like have given a lot of relationships.
Like you tossed it out there, and I said, I'm going to lean into this and say I'm pretty good at this stuff. Yeah.
Oh, so you lied.
I didn't toss anything out there. You were talking about relationships, and
I'm not going to walk around the office or go down the street and be like, hey, who needs relationship advice? I'm here for you.
You should do it while wearing
There's
ideal.
One of our MCs that you're giving a lot of relationship advice to.
Well, that's because I was asked.
Really? What kind of advice have you given her?
Time now for a celebratory message from Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All.
Sounds like someone's here to celebrate with us.
10 years with this show? Oh my gosh, what a run.
Wilde and Tausch's 10th anniversary is presented by Steinhoffels.
Greatest show on ESPN Wisconsin, period.
And this celebratory message is brought to us by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Hey guys, it's Jackrabbit Mama wishing you a happy 10th anniversary. I've been a regular listener since early days, but it took Tucker Kraft becoming a Packer to give me a nudge to begin calling. Being a part of the Wilde and Tausch family is a great honor. It's funny to say you feel part of a group of strangers that just happen to listen to the same radio show, but it's true. The Packer Talk keeps me company at work. It's a great distraction from life, and it just feels comfortable and familiar. It's like a conversation that we can always jump right back into. Honestly, some days it feels like Jason and Tausch need a mom to step in and keep them from coming to blows. So that's what it means to be part of the family. Thanks to all of you, Jesse definitely included. And let's keep it going for another decade. And always remember, go big, go blue, go Jacks.
I think Jackrabbit Mama encapsulated that all pretty well.
I think she nailed it.
She included you, which I know makes you happy.
I always appreciate being included in the messages. Yeah, that's good.
That is, I mean, we've been doing this. It's 10 years in two weeks. We've been doing this for a while. And I think what we're looking for, and I can't speak for Jason, we're going to squabble. That's just what we do. But the Packer Talk, and that's, I think, the obviously that is our main area of expertise. But if we can make people feel part of the community, that is our goal. That's what I hope to do when we started this show, and it makes me very happy. Even with Jackrabbit Mama having to step in, she was two segments she got when she was down by the
Milwaukee studio. Yeah,
that is what it's all about on our end, is that we just want to be a place that you can come. If you want to come for an hour, if you want to come for all 3 hours, you want to come for 10 minutes, you have something you want to get off your chest, we love it. So that makes, I think, all of us at Wilde and Tausch and with our whole group feel really good when we get notes like that.
Yeah, it's been great hearing those messages all summer long. Makes our hearts full here. Jason, Tausch, and me.
Full hearts, full minds. I don't know how the rest of that quote goes, but it does make you feel good when you have people that care about you. I like that.
Yeah. And celebratory messages here as part of our 10th anniversary presented by Steinhoffels are brought to us by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. They stand up for victims, take the burden off their shoulders, and they focus on the legal aspect while clients focus on healing. It's just one call, and they'll handle the rest. They've been serving the people and the state of Wisconsin for 35 years. Giving back to the community is incredibly important to Gruber Law Offices, just like we enjoy giving back to our Wilde and Tausch community here. We saw the Gruber Law Offices crew out at the ESPN Milwaukee Open last week. Thanks to David and the whole team over at Gruber Law Offices. Check them out, gruber-law.com, to learn more about the firm in addition to what they do in the community, or give them a call. You know the number, 414-276-6666. That's 414-276-6666. Gruber Law Offices, one call, that's all. Fitting that Jackrabbit Mama had our celebratory message, because there's one position group we've yet to review from Rob Domofsky's Better, Worse, or the Same article at ESPN.com. That's the tight ends. We'll talk about that to kick off the 11 o'clock hour in 2 minutes on Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.